Well, I'm Dave Podbury. I'm Veronica's husband. And didn't we having a couple of amazing sessions this morning? And will somebody say, yeah? Yeah, good. I need to check you're all awake, because they gave me, they call it the, is it the graveyard slot? Thanks, Chris. Okay, so I'm going to be checking on you. I've caught a couple over there who were having a nap, but they're looking pretty good for it. So anybody else want a nap? No? Okay, good, that's excellent. I need to move this if I can. I've got a reputation of falling over things. We once went to a Cayley, and they had two prizes at the Cayley. One was for the best dancer, and the other was for the most uncoordinated person in the room. And I got the one for the most uncoordinated person in the room. I'm lucky to be here. I nearly encountered the Lord face to face in the gents there, because you've got an interesting step. It's sort of not quite big enough for you to really fall over, but it's big enough for you to do some harm. And I entered the gents this morning head first, but I'm still in one piece, and I'm here. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about prophecy. We're going to look at the other end of prophecy, which is about giving prophecy. Is that all right? Okay. Now, I don't want anybody... Does anybody like role play? No. Okay, well, don't worry. This is worse than role play. No, it's going to be good. Prophecy is just a great thing. And prophecy, at its heart, is about the love of God. It's about the love of God. So, Elaine, can I just borrow you for a moment? Yeah, come on up. Now, we've not really had a chance to talk properly, but I can just see Elaine is a good person, and she's going to be really helpful here. Do you know, have you ever walked past, walking down the high street, and you catch a glimpse of yourself in the window, yeah? And you think, oh, no, is that me? Is that me? I don't look like that, do I? You know, or been in one of these halls of mirrors. Have you been in one of these halls of mirrors?
I have, yeah.
And they make you look fat and thin and tall and short and all sorts of shapes. And you think, oh, no, which is the real me? But, you know, through prophecy, what we're discovering is who the real me is and what. It's not just about what plan God has got. It's how he perceives you, how he looks at you. How do you think he looks at Elaine? He just loves her to bits. He just knows her heart, and his longing is to get his heart to her heart, yeah? And he sees, I don't know how you see yourself, Elaine. I'm not going to ask you. But, you know, if we read the Bible, Jesus just sees us as just wonderful. He sees you as wonderful. He sees you as this incredible creation. And I'm just always taken aback by the fact that, you know, you can see the stars in Hexham, can't you, and roundabout? You can't always see them in the big cities. But, you know, do we really get to grips with the fact that, you know, this is our God who made those stars, that universe, you know, the stars which are not just a bit away, they're light years away, light years away. And yet, God, he's a God who created me. He's the God who picked me out. And when Chris asked us to look at Ephesians, I this morning, do you remember that? Do your memories go back that long? Okay, and he said, what does Ephesians say to you? And I just had this picture of, which I shared with Corinne, do you know, I've struggled so much with Corinne's name, but and I'm sorry, she can kick me hard later. But, you know, I just got this picture of us being in a huge crowd. I got a picture of you being in the huge crowd as well. And, you know, has anybody been to St. James's Park? Yeah. So they're football. Does anybody support Newcastle United? Yeah. Anybody here from Sunderland? Well, I love going to St. James's Park. And, you know, I just got this picture of us being in St. James's Park, Elaine. Have you been in St. James's Park as well? You've never been. Have you been in a huge crowd? All right, you've been in a huge crowd. And if you can imagine the stand and the stadium, and there's thousands and, like, thousands and thousands there. I think does it take about 55,000? Yeah, something like that. So you're in there with 55,000, and God has, he's picked you out of the 55,000. And I just find it amazing. He's picked me out as well of the 55,000. And I just find that absolutely astonishing, because you know, a lot of the time, I just don't feel like somebody special. I just don't feel, well, who would take notice? But God took notice, and he picked me out of that 55,000. He picked me out of the 100,000, and he picked me out of the millions, and he picked you out of the millions. And he said, because Elaine is beautiful, and I love her to bits. And I love it when Elaine comes to me. You know, like the father standing there, when your children are little and they run up to you and just want to give you a big hug. Something happens in your heart, doesn't it? And it happens in God's heart. And he sees your faithfulness, he sees your goodness, and he sees your humility as well, Elaine. Bless you. Thank you. That's all I wanted to do. There's no worse than that. Is that all right? Okay. So I'm going to talk a little bit about prophecy. I sometimes wonder what I'm doing here, but I am here. And just to tell you my context, that I bore Veronica with this because she knows all of this. But anyway, I spent the first 30 years of my life being chased by God. And I spent the next 30-something years chasing God and wanted to get hold of him. And I guess that's the story of some of you today. And some of you today sort of thinking, how do I feature in God's plan? How do I feature in his thinking? How do I feature in his perceptions? And we feature because we're all, each one of us, a part of God's plan. Isn't that exciting? Now, I'm not going to stand here this afternoon prophesying over you. I'm not going to ask the person wearing their yellow underpants to stand up and identify themselves so I can prophesy them. I'm not going to, I'll probably get into trouble for this one, Chris. I'm not going to ask the person with hemorrhoids to come forward so I can lay hands on them. All right, that's me fired. Okay. I want to look at the biblical context of prophecy and what it's saying to you and me. Okay, so starting from a premise, first of all, that we've all got the potential, and Veronica was touching on this, to activate a prophetic gift. And it'd be activated perhaps in very different ways in each one of us. So let me start with the one you all know, which is Joel chapter 2. If I can just find it in my Bible. And it's here somewhere. And some of you will know this off by heart. So it's Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 29. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. How many people? All people. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Who here is a son or a daughter? Put your hand up if you're a son. Thank you. No, you're not a son. You're a daughter. Put your hand up if you're a daughter. Thank you. Okay. Well, you did take your hand down just in time. Okay. So the truth of this is that we are all sons and daughters, yeah? Are you with me on that? Come on, Hexham, somebody say yes. Yes, Dave. Yes, Dave. That's excellent, good. Okay, I need to know that I've got an audience here that is awake and is working with me. Is that all right? Okay, let's go back to that. And I'll try not to get distracted. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth. Isn't that exciting? God's going to show us wonders, not just wonders around us, but wonders from heaven as well. And that's just, and we need to get hold of that. Is anybody excited by that? Yes. Well, sort of, yeah. Thank you, this good man. Is it Phil? Yeah, great. Phil is excited. And God loves it when we're excited because, you know, we can lose the sense of who God is and lose sense of the wondrousness. Is that a word? Do you use that up in Hexham? It is now. The wondrousness, anyway, of God. We can lose sense of that. And when we lose sense of the wonders of who God is, our faith starts to dwindle and diminish. Always try and keep a sense of how amazing, how great, how massive, how enormous, how vast our God is. Amen? Good. All right, we're doing well here. All right, so as sons and daughters, we will prophesy, and God will display to us wondrous things. Joel's words reveal that God doesn't just want to reveal the prophetic gifts to some people. He wants to reveal them to all, to each person. Okay, have we got that? Does anybody agree with that? Yes. Well, that's good. Thank you, Phil. I need to get you up here with me. All right. No, Dave. Okay. All right. So he wants us to really bless us all with revelations of his thoughts, his feelings, his emotions, his perceptions, what's in his heart. He wants to reveal those things. And if you know your Bible, you will have that very clear sense. He wants to reveal his very self to it. Okay. Just going to move on a little bit. Come and look at 1 Corinthians 14, if you have that in your Bibles. 1 to 5. I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit, because this is where Paul talks about prophecy, okay? Follow the way of love, he says. Which way? The way of love. Follow the way of love. And eagerly, somebody say eagerly.
Eagerly.
You are really eager today. Man, I don't know what God's going to do with you today, Phil, but he's going to do something when you're so alive to this. All right. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. Then I'll move on a little bit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men, speaks to all mankind, if you like, for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And I would like every one of you, and he goes on, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather that you have prophecy. And this passage is absolutely crucial because it sets the context and the framework within which we are to eagerly seek those spiritual gifts, including the gift of prophecy. And that context and that framework is what? It's love. And it's not just a coincidence that he happens to talk about love and then talk about spiritual gifts and prophecy. Love is the context. And it's both God's love for us, our longings for him, and our compassion and love for one another. Without those things, prophecy is nothing. Prophecy is empty. Paul says so much, doesn't he? Prophecy is empty. The gifts are empty. The gifts are so limited. God wants to reveal his thoughts, his ideas to you and me. Is that exciting or what?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, you're good. He wants to reveal his thoughts. Let's see if we can get, I don't know quite how we can get this into our heads. His thoughts, his ideas, his perceptions to you and me. Yeah. And one of those ways is clearly through prophecy. He wants to do the business with us. But we need to grasp the calling and the commission he assigns to each one of us. Does that make sense? All right. As we draw near to him, he draws near to us. It's a two-way thing. How many times do we sit back and say, oh, God, sort this out, or God, you need to, or whatever. And God's saying, well, work with me on this. Yeah? He doesn't need us to do so because he's an almighty God. He's an all-powerful God. But it is his desire that we work with him. It's his desire that we cooperate with him. Today, in a few minutes, we're going to step out in faith. All right, we're going to see how we can prophesy. But there's some really important things I want to share with you. It's all right. Is that all right? Somebody on that table say yes, Dave. No, not that table, that table. Behave yourselves down here. Thank you. Okay. So I'm going to use my notes because these things are really important. Is that okay? Right. Okay, see, I've started something. I'm not going to be able to stop here, am I, Phil? No, Dave. All right, so I'm just going to go through these really important points. Prophecy should always aim to equip, to encourage, to comfort and strengthen, all right? It represents some movement forward in some way. Thank you. And you know, sometimes the prophetic ministry has got a really bad press and we shied away from it. Because sometimes prophecy, ha-ha, it's not real prophecy. It's been used to condemn, to criticize, to point to people's failures or people's weaknesses. But that is not what prophecy is. Prophecy should connect us to the heart of God and give us hope and light in a situation. We're given a gift of discernment. That's a human ability as well as a spiritual gift that we're given. But I need to tell you this, discernment is not the same as prophecy. Discernment may lead the way and open the door to prophecy. But I may, and sorry, can I pick on you for a minute? And we'll pray for about this after. You know, if I discern that Neil here is in all sorts of troubles, he's got moral failings, you know, he's bad-tempered, he's drunk. Is he bad-tempered? No, he's bad-tempered, he's grumpy, you know, all sorts of unhelpful things. And I just say to him, under the guise of prophecy, Neil, you've got a shocking temper. Neil, you need to stop looking at these magazines. Neil, you need to stop watching these programs. That's not what prophecy is. That's discernment. I may discern that in the spiritual. I haven't, incidentally. I may discern that in the spiritual or in the natural. But prophecy is about how we move forward, how he moves forward, how each one of us moves forward in God's love. Is this making sense? Okay. No one needs prophecy to point out their failures. No one needs prophecy to humiliate them. Okay? And if you get somebody whose words are humiliating, there's a guy called Dan McCullum, I think you might mention him later, he says, flush it away. Flush it away. If it's not helpful, if you know it's not correct, flush it away. Get rid of it. Prophecy is incredibly powerful. It's life-changing. And it needs to be handled with care. There's a guy called Chris Volotin, I can never pronounce his surname, who was one of the co-founders of the Bethel Prophetic Ministry, the School of Ministry. And he says this, and this is a great phrase, the true prophetic ministry looks for the gold in the midst of the dirt in people's lives. Amen. Looks for the gold in the dirt, and we've all got some dirt somewhere. If I'm a failure, I don't need somebody under the guise of the prophetic to point that out to me. Prophecy can caution and it can warn. Veronica, I think, was quoting Agabus early on. And I think one of the things that Agabus prophesied, tell me if I've got this wrong, was that Paul should not go to Rome because he could see what was going to happen to Paul. That was a warning. It was a good prophetic warning. It was accurate. But Paul knew in his heart that he would have to go to Rome to suffer. So it can be warning, but it needs to be on top of that. It needs to have a way forward. It needs to have some light. It needs to have hope attached to it. Sometimes prophecy's got a really bad press because the person claiming to be a prophet uses prophecy, and this is really, really bad when this happens, as a means of gaining control or undue influence over other people. If you know that somebody's doing that, get away from them. Just discard whatever they say. Prophecy is never used to get control or influence by one person over another. It's wrong. And sometimes, as we know, so-called prophets, and people possibly who have a prophetic gift, have major moral failings. And we need to be cautious of that. Is the person giving the prophecy, Is this person reliable? Are they moving with Jesus? Are they moving in Christ? Are they moving in love? Yeah? Is this making sense? Are you with me? I'm a bit worried that some of you over this side are dozing off a little bit. How are you guys at the back? You're taking it all in. Oh, good. That's helpful. All right. Good. Okay. Occasionally, there are times when prophecies are inaccurate. And it just happens. It happens with the best of intentions. It's not because anybody's trying to inflict any ill will. It's just that perhaps it's not quite right. And I just want to share this with you. Have people heard of Sean Bolts? Yeah. Highly, highly accurate gift of prophecy. Hugely accurate gift of prophecy. And I find his work really, really impressive because certainly in the mid-2000s, he went out to test the accuracy of his prophecies. So he actually followed up people he prophesied over. Let me share this with you. And I don't know if this has changed since, but what he found was that 60% of his prophecies were wholly accurate, and further 30% had a lesser degree of accuracy, but nonetheless positively moved the recipients of his prophecies forwards. And in 10% of cases, the prophecies were either inaccurate or unfulfilled. So prophecies are, you know, even with the best of intents, even with the most experienced, if you like, of prophecies, people with prophetic gifts, they don't always get it right. And that just happens. But if we occasionally get it wrong, we shouldn't cease to aim to prophesy. It may be that if you've got somebody in your churches, in your fellowships who just come out with words which are just wonky, that actually you need to tell them they're not prophetic words. They're not helpful words. Because a lot of people can hide behind prophecy. But what is clear is that the exercise and the practice of prophetic gifts really, really helps. So the more we prophesy, the more accurate, in a sense, we become. The more we ask and test out the accuracy of our own prophecies. So if you prophesied to somebody, was this right? Was this helpful? Did it clarify something? Did it open a way? And if we ask those questions, then we can learn from it. Because one of the dangers is that we prophesy through the lens of our own experience. Let me give you an example. I knew somebody who was prophesied over, who was told about how you know God was really concerned about his relationship with his parents and how God really wanted to help him repair this relationship and da-da-da like this. But this guy had no problem in relationship with his... None. No problem in relationship with his parents. And then it emerged that the person giving the prophecy had had a mega problem with his own father. Okay. And we just need to be careful, if we're giving prophetic words, that we're not giving them through the lens of our own experience. Our own experience can be helpful, but we need to be careful that it doesn't overly sway and influence our prophetic words. Is this making sense to people? You know, even Paul got a vision to go to Macedonia. Anybody know about this? He got a vision to go to Macedonia in Acts 16. And in Acts 16, he's called by a man to go to Macedonia. Who's he meet? Anybody know? Not quite from Macedonia, but do you know who he met? He didn't meet the man. He met some women, including, I think it was Lydia. Has anybody got the Bible open? He met Lydia. But the context of the vision or a prophetic word, the broad context can be right, but the exact detail sometimes is not quite right. The main call upon Paul was to go to Macedonia. It didn't matter so much whether he met a man or a woman. It was to go to Macedonia. Is this making sense to anybody? All right. So sometimes you will give or receive prophecies which point a general direction, a general opening, a general way forward. But it might not be wholly right. But that shouldn't stop us from exercising the gift of prophecy. Okay. we can create in our churches an atmosphere, a prophetic atmosphere, an atmosphere in which the prophetic's encouraged, and a safe atmosphere in which people are allowed to get it wrong. Okay? Anybody? Yeah? So you sometimes will get it wrong. That is not a reason. If you occasionally get it wrong with, you know, with good motive, seeking God's word, don't worry. But it's helpful if the person receiving the prophecy can say to you, well, it doesn't quite make sense. Because sometimes it isn't quite right. Okay, let me make some final points. If you create a prophetic atmosphere, let me read this from 1 Samuel 19. All right, I'm going to race through this because this is just amazing. And it's the context of this is that Saul is chasing David. He wants to kill him. Yeah, he's really out for him, big time. So it says this, 1 Samuel 19, verse 18 onwards. When David had fled and made his escape, he went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. So Samuel's a big prophet, isn't he? Then he and Samuel went to Naoth, and stayed there. Word came to Saul, David is in Naoth at Ramah. So he sent men to capture him. But when they saw a group of prophets prophesying, with Samuel standing there as the leader, the Spirit of God came upon Saul's men, and they also prophesied. Saul was told about it. And he sent more men, and they prophesied too. Saul sent men a third time, and they also prophesied. Finally, he himself left Ramah and went to see the great cistern at Seku, I think it is. And he asked, where are Samuel and David? Over in Raoth at Ramah, they said. So Saul went to Raoth at Ramah, but the Spirit of God came even upon him, and he walked along prophesying until he came to Naoth. He stripped off his clothes and also prophesied in Samuel's presence. Now, I don't know if I fully understand that, to be honest, but what it does say to me is that when there is a context, when there is an atmosphere of prophecy, it becomes quite contagious, it becomes quite infectious. And from what I've read, the church sort of lost a lot of the spiritual gifts, including the prophetic gifts, somewhere around towards the end of the third century. Yeah? And it sort of disappeared. And we're just regaining access to so many of these gifts. And we need to create, and I'm speaking now to church members and church leaders, an atmosphere where it's safe to prophesy. So prophecy is about discovering and imparting what is in the heart of God. It's revealing and communicating what God wants to do, what he is developing someone or something to do, how he's preparing the way for something to happen. It's about seeking and speaking the mind of God for the future by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So we may discern something in our human abilities or in our spiritual abilities. But if we're going to be truly prophetic, we're saying to God, what do you think of this situation? What's your word on this? What's your perception on this? And it's only when we're seeking his word through the power of his Holy Spirit that we should then think about prophesying. Because if we're just using our discernment, as I said earlier, it's not prophecy. Call on God. We're looking out. And then we're calling on God to say, what is your perspective on this? What is it you want to say about this? What's in your heart, Lord, for this person or these people? Okay, I'm going to move on very finally. You know, prophecy is a great thing. I mean, it comes in all sorts of forms, as many of you know. It can come in the form of a sound, a picture, word, scripture, all sorts of ways. The great thing about prophecy is that it builds us, isn't it? It reveals God's heart and it builds us. It reaffirms it, going back to the beginning, that we're loved and we're valued, that we're significant, that we have a part, a really big part. No matter how insignificant we feel, we have a big part to play in God's plan. And going back again to that passage that Chris started with, we have been picked out, we have been chosen from amongst the thousands, from amongst the millions, to do his work, to find his heart, to seek his heart. But the other thing I want to say, and this is the very final thing, and then it's going to get exciting. Are you ready? Okay. You're not, Phil? Yeah, you are. Okay. Is when we receive a prophetic word, not only does it affirm us in God's eyes, but it builds our capacity to receive more of him. It builds our hunger. It builds our appetite for more of Jesus in our lives. And this is why it's important. Now, not everybody will be prophesied over in every session. And I think we've all known, or many of us have known, the experience of, you know, you go to one of these meetings where there's a big prophet, and you sit there thinking, he's going to prophesy, he's going to notice me. I don't stick my hand up, but, you know, I'm going to smile, I'm going to twitch, I'm going to sort of get in front of the people either side so I'm spotted. Yeah, is that a natural reaction? Because we all want a word of prophecy. And I believe we will all get a word of prophecy, but maybe not in the same setting. And the danger for the prophet is that, or the person with the prophetic gift, because there is a difference between, I'm not going to go into that, between the prophetic gift and the office of the prophet. The danger is that you feel almost forced to say something, obliged to say something, which perhaps is coming from you and not from the Lord. So don't worry if you don't receive a prophetic word on a particular occasion, because God still notices you. God still knows exactly who you are. God knows where your heart is. And what he's looking for is love, our love for him. He's looking for humility, and he's looking for faithfulness. And I've gone right off the subject. But that's important stuff, isn't it? Okay, now I can see the guys on the back are really waking up here. Yeah? Okay, we're going to activate some prophecy. Are you ready for it? Okay. Now, what I want you to do, this is really important, we're going to have to move it quite quickly, is in a moment, not yet, so keep, hold on to your handbags yet, not yet, but we're going to give you some bits of paper. And I want you, those have got some scriptures on them, and I want you to get to pair up with somebody that perhaps you don't know very well, or you don't know at all. And I want you just to look at that person, I want you to look at each other and just spend no more than a moment. You can share your names, you can share two or three things about yourself very, very quickly. And then I want the first person to look at these verses and just to say, what verse, just pray for a moment and say, which of these verses do you think fits, is appropriate to, is assigned or should be assigned to the person I'm with? Does this make sense? Dave, this is far worse than role play. How could you do this to us? But it's in stepping out in faith, as we all need to do, don't we? That we grow with the Lord, yeah? Somebody said, yeah. Phil, you were just, what have you been taking at lunchtime? All right, sausages. Okay, so does that make sense? So we need you to link up with somebody, ideally that you don't know at all, but if it's somebody, if you can't, then somebody that perhaps you don't know very well, and you're going to just quickly, very quickly, ask them a little bit about themselves. Each one of you is going to find out a name. Two or three very quick facts. I don't want life stories. And then I want each one of you just to pray and then to assign a verse. What do you think would be a prophetic verse for this person that you link to? So, everybody up? Everybody awake? Yes, Dave. Good. Okay. Well, can you stand then and find someone that you don't know? And we've only got about 7 or 8 minutes to do this.
Oops.
If this means it goes over, we can either have a break and you carry on doing these activities, or you just carry on and I'll just do a short session.
Okay. I think
it's important they do these activities.
Right. I can't remember what time, because we started. The 30 seconds, and then we're going to move on. Okay. I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to stop you there, but don't take your seats, because I want you to find another partner and do exactly the same thing. Oops. Okay, has everybody got a partner now? There's some folk over here still looking for partners. Okay, away you go. That's it. Has everybody got a partner? You haven't got one. Would you like to partner with this gentleman here? Okay, good. How's everybody getting on? Has anybody finished? Can you put your hands up if you finished? Right, one more minute. Okay. Have you had time to feedback whether the prophetic word was helpful or not? I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but I'm guessing that one or two people have made a mistake or two along the line, and that's fine. It's not a problem. Okay, can you take the partner that you've got now or just had? Phil, you need to go back to your partner. Has everybody got a partner? Okay. This is a bit easier because you've already had your partners. I want you not to say anything, but just to look at your partner and look at their face, look at their hair, look at their jewelry, look at their shoes, look at their clothes, look at their demeanor, and just ask the Lord, what's this saying about them? And you may have a word of scripture, word of encouragement, you might have a picture, you might have something else. But just not talking this time, just looking and then just sharing. What's this person in front of you? What are you seeing? What are you discerning? And what's God, importantly, what's God telling you from what you see? Okay, off you go. Okay, can you just put your hands up if you're there? And have you given feedback as to whether you felt it was right, accurate, appropriate? Okay. All right. If I can just grab your attention again then. So we've got prophetic words which look forward, look at and look forward, look up as well. Some of you may have had a word of wisdom. Does everybody know what a word of wisdom is? Word of wisdom is, it's almost like having somebody who's unpicking the jigsaw in your life and explaining perhaps how bits of your situation sit together. It's almost like having maybe a counsellor, a mechanic who looks at the different things. Yeah? Looks at the different parts of your engine and says, oh, I can see what the problem is here and how we can remedy it. Yeah? And some of you may have had words of wisdom. Some of you may have a word of knowledge. Do you know what a word of knowledge is? Some of you do, some of you don't. Word of knowledge is when you say something that speaks into somebody's, the facts of somebody's life, which you couldn't possibly know except by intervention and information, if you like, drawn down from the Holy Spirit. Yeah? So there are one or two remarkable prophets who, would read out, I think it was Sean Bolt again, who read out a telephone number. And I think it was Bishop Joseph Garlington who stood up and said, that's my phone number. And then he gave an address. And Bishop Garlington got up again and said, that's my address. And he didn't know these things. He didn't know. There was another instance where his accuracy of his prophecy, his word of knowledge, was so great that he told somebody what their bank account number was. Can you imagine that? Woo, scary or what? Did he work for Facebook? No, he didn't work for Facebook. So you may have a word of knowledge. You may have a word of wisdom. Should always be accompanied by encouragement, seeing some light, seeing some way forward. Yeah? Is that all right? Okay. Now, just listen, and because it's important, because we're all going to have coffee in a bit, but there's one more exercise to do. Are you okay with that? Thank you, whoever that was. Well done. You've learned from Phil. Are you related to Phil? No, you should be related to Phil. Okay. That's right. Okay. So we're going to do one more exercise. If you just listen to this one, this is quite a tough one. All right? So I want you to find yet another partner. Again, if possible, somebody you don't know, but if worst comes to the worst, somebody you don't know very well. Just introduce yourself to the other partner. Pray for a moment. And this is a tough one. I want you to sing them a song. And the song, don't move yet, just hang on. I know you've got your energy back because you were asleep at lunchtime, but the rest of us had to stay awake. So what I want you to do is just to ask the other person who they are, to pray, and to sing them a song. It might be a pop song, it might be a hymn, it might be a modern worship song, it might be a chorus, it might be a song. You just make the words and the music up. Is that all right? No, it's not all right. See how you get on. But choose somebody that you don't know, if you can, and then just pray, look at them, pray, just see what words come, and sing your song. You don't have to sing in tune. You can sing right out of tune if you want. Is that all right, worship leader? Yeah, good. All right. Go and choose a partner. Can you put your hands up if you can't find a partner, please? Put your hand up if you've still not got a partner. There's somebody over here who hasn't got a partner. Oh, there's, do you two know each other? Can you grab this partner here? We need somebody else for this handsome young man here. Oh, good. Anybody else not got a partner? Susanna, do you know this young lady? Go and exercise your musical skill and worship skills out there. We've got one more person here who hasn't got a partner. Is anybody free? Somebody tell me, somebody say, yes, Dave, we've sung, or no? Hey, good. All right. Do you want to take your seats again? Well, yeah, only when you don't say yes, Dave. It's, okay. Right. Can you put your hands up if it took you out of your comfort zone? That's what steps of faith are about, isn't it? Yeah? Stepping out of your comfort zone and stepping out in confidence and faith, because we've got a big God, so it really doesn't matter if we get some things wrong. As long as our hearts are right, it does not matter. Thank you, Chris. It does not matter. I get things wrong constantly. Fortunately, my wife is not going to talk about all those things today that I get wrong. But, you know, we can get lots of things wrong in the context of love and affection and affirmation, can't we? And we move forward from those things. But today, a lot of you have had to take a step in faith, haven't you? Yeah? Did anybody find it dead easy? Oh, goodness, somebody would. Oh, do you found it easy as well? Okay. Well, I've got to be honest, I've done all of this, and I did not find it easy. But it reminded me that you do step out in faith. And actually, once you get going, it's never as bad as you thought, is it? Sorry, you didn't even think. Oh, that's a good thing, isn't it, just to step out. Because, you know, we're not in control with this. We're not in control with this. God, His Holy Spirit, is in control of this. And we should not be afraid. We should not be stupid either. Because people can say really wacky and unhelpful things, as I said earlier, under the guise of prophecy. But discern, ask God, what's your perspective on this? What is your feeling about this? Who is man that you are mindful of me? I love that. Yeah? You know, that we're actually on God's mind. We're on His thoughts. The same way perhaps have you got a brother or a sister? A brother. Do you occasionally think about him? Yes. Quite often? Yes. Not every moment. You know, in the same way, I'm really going off track here. In the same way, you know, God thinks about you. God has had thoughts and will have thoughts for the remainder of the day about Phil. It's not to say we'll think about him all day long. He might do. But, you know, you as well, I don't know your name. Yeah. Marjorie. Well, Marjorie, you know, God thinks about you. You know, in the same way that you think of somebody you love, you think, I wonder what they're doing today. I wonder how they're getting on today. And that's the same way our loving God, our Father, Jesus, thinks about us. Isn't that amazing? And I'm always astonished by that, that I'm on his mind. I don't, you know, sometimes I feel that I'm seeking desperately for his attention. But actually, he's already been thinking about me. In the same way we would think about our kids, our husbands or our wives, our brothers or our sisters, other people that we love and we care about, we're on his mind. Isn't he a great God? I'm going to finish there. Thank you.